This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on Apple, iTunes, or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description box so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from Job chapter 5, verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty.
Bro, nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody likes it.
No, it's not fun. It's never fun.
You got a lot of pride wrapped up in it. Men and women. I was going to say men, but I think women too. Yeah. You know, it's a very humbling experience, especially when it's done by another human being. You know, it's one thing when God corrects you, but how does God correct you? You know, he doesn't come down from the heavens with a wagging finger. He puts godly people in your life. He brings the Holy Spirit's conviction into you, but nobody really likes it. You know what I mean? And it's one of the things that it's a sign of maturity when you can take correction and come out the other side thankful for it.
Yeah. And not everybody who speaks into your life is always going to be seeking to correct you and have your best interests at heart. So know the source that it's coming from. But if it's a trusted source, if it's a trusted believer, a brother, sister in Christ, listen to and receive that correction and really take a moment to examine yourself, because like John, just like you said, that's how God speaks to us is through the godly people that are in our lives.
That's right.
So listen, accept it in humility and allow that to shape you into the man or woman that God's creating you to be.
Dr. Shah said this to me one time. I think he got it from John Maxwell, but I might be misquoting that. But he said, "There's you're going to have two people in your lives who speak correction to you. Some of them are going to be your coach. Some of them are going to be your critics.
Yeah.
And you don't listen to your critics. You know, right. You don't let your critic, you might learn from them, but you don't let them dictate how you live your life. Mm-hmm. You leave that for your coaches. So take inventory of the people in your life who you know are constantly speaking wisdom or instruction into you. Are they your coach? Do you really feel like they have your best interest at heart? Or do they just want to pick out those things wrong? And then you'll know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this episode, as always, is brought to you in part by the Date the Word app. You can download it for free right now on your iPhone or Android device. Every single day connects today's date with God's word for the hope of making it more memorable for you.
Oh, you good?
I'm good, man. It's just been a long, long week. New building is coming along. The album is wrapping up production. Just lots of things
are rolling. Lots of irons in the fire, but they're all kind of moving forward.
But I did have some good news.
Okay.
Someone sent us $1 million cash.
And I love that.
It was in the mailbox.
Fantastic.
The FBI shut the whole street down, but after it was all cleared, but here it was all good. It's ours to keep.
Great.
Here's the only bugaboo.
Oh.
It's going to you. $1 million to you.
I love that.
Your phone and your laptop.
Sure.
Any device that you have that you have to charge.
I have two right here.
So yeah, your phone.
Three. I mean, I charge. Whoops.
Yeah, yeah.
And I charge my Apple Watch.
So your Apple Watch, your phone, your laptop, yep. your iPad, anything in your life that requires a charge, it will never get above 10% ever again.
Ew.
Yeah, you'll always be at 10% or less. You could leave it on the charger till kingdom come. It will not charge above 10%.
Ew, I hate that.
Yeah.
I'd probably take that, though.
Terrible feeling. Are you serious?
Yeah, really? I'd probably take that. Yeah, just keep a power bank with you.
Oh, man.
I hate that. I really... Because the power bank itself would only get to 10%.
Yeah, you can leave it, charge it up for
Yeah.
Wait, do you charge the power? Yeah, you charge the power bank. Yeah, that's got 10% battery.
I'd probably
take
that.
You better be near an outlet at all times.
I'd probably take that. I have a phone charger in my car that you can like sit the phone in and it'll charge like while you're driving.
Yeah, this would be 10%. Like it'll charge fine. The phone's not broken. It's just
it just only charges to 10%.
It'll get to 10 and then it'll hold. Like if you leave it plugged up, it'll just stay at 10. But it'll never see 11% again.
I'd probably take that.
You'll take it?
It would be a headache, but I would take it.
I think I would take it too. But man, what a nuisance. So yesterday, it's actually kind of funny because yesterday, this was born out of a situation that I had yesterday where I forgot to charge my phone. So woke up in the morning and it was on like 15%.
That's
and I was like, this is
feeling.
Not going to work.
Yeah.
So then I come to work and I was like, all right, where's my phone charger? I was like, oh, I took my phone charger home because nobody was using it at the office.
Mm.
For goodness sake. So now I got to play the beggar walking around. Hey, Melissa, can I please borrow your phone charger? They're like, well, why do you need my phone charger? I'm like, why do you think... I'm going to bake a cake with it. I'm going to put it in some cake batter and have phone charger for dessert. I need to
charge my phone, obviously.
What do you need with it? So I was like, okay, she has something I need, so I'm not going to lash out. Yeah. I was like, I'd like to charge my phone, please. She's going to hand it to me. Make sure I get it back. I said, you know what? I'm seething with anger, but I need to charge this phone. And then you sit down to charge my phone. Everybody's like, hey, can you come help me in the office? Bring your phone. Yeah, sure. So, like, there's just no point in the day to sit down because you got new building stuff and you got album production. You got all these different things that you guys are doing as well. So, it's like my phone it never saw above 10% yesterday.
You need to get an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Because you can text and you can, like, accept phone calls from not a huge distance, but from a distance. So, like, if you have your phone charging in
the office and you go
to the cafe.
Though.
I'm telling you, it's great. Nick has what I'm talking about.
You got the Apple Watch? You like it? You like the Apple
Watch?
Everyone
got one.
And Dr. Shah, everyone has an Apple Watch except for me.
Yeah.
This is how Apple works.
Yep.
And it's crazy that I'm going to go out and buy one.
You got
to
do it.
But I'm going to
do it. You
got to
do it.
Because everybody has one except for me.
But under this agreement, it will not get above 10%.
No, so not at all. That. Not at all. But I'll be a millionaire. Write in and let us know if you would do that. I guarantee you there's some people out there who was like, I won't even. I'll chuck that phone in Car Lake. I'll chuck that. I won't even use a phone no more.
I don't even care.
Yep. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Let us know if you would take that deal. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
Hashtag Clearview Today. The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian Talk Radio.
And listen, we know we're not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Questions himself, who also just happens to be a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and just happens to be the host of today's show.
It's credentials funny. Just like Dr. Shaw's.
It's funny how life works out. You know, I know we said we've never seen them in the same place at the same time, but I could swear I just saw Dr. Shaw walking down the hall, and then it's crazy because then Dr. Questions came in. So suspicious. I don't know. It is what it is. Dr. Shaw, or excuse me, Dr. Questions. Let me not ruin the illusion. $1 million. You're going to get $1 million, I think, in cash.
Okay.
You can get it credited to your account if you want. But I would say it makes more of an impact if it's in the briefcase.
Okay.
And you slide it across the table. Your phone, your laptop, your iPad, any device that you have that you have to charge will never go above 10%.
Okay.
It will rise to 10% and then stop.
I've had computers and laptops and phones like that for a long time.
But you got to make it last throughout the day. Now you can.
So like I can have like my little battery charger.
You can have it in there, but it just won't rise above 10%.
Yeah.
It won't. If it's hooked up, it won't drop, but it'll just be 10% is the.
I'll take it.
You'll take it?
I'll take it.
Really?
Yeah.
So
it's just a little stressful, but I mean, $1 million?
Yeah. I mean, $1 million.
That'll help ease the stress up.
Yeah.
Would you take like a backpack with you and like have just the little battery charger with it?
Which I do anyways.
Yeah, but now you got to like wear it. You have to like, I mean, I constantly. Guess you don't have to, but like, I'm thinking you're like at a board meeting or something. You've just got a backpack on with like cables coming out.
Well, see, now, your phone. Every time I travel, I have 3 chargers with me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think Ryan said he would take it.
I would
too.
Take it,
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know that I could. Like, I would
$1 million?
I mean, I want to. Don't get me wrong. I want to, but I can't.
Now, if he said like $1,000 or $10,000, I'd be like, no, I don't know about
that. I just don't know. I mean, I need my stuff. I need my stuff to be charged. Something about seeing that full green 100% just makes you happy on the inside, and I'll never have that again.
It is nice.
Full green in my bank account, so that might
help. That's true. That green will help offset the lack of the other green.
Right. Fair enough. Well, speaking of full green, I'm loving this.
I am in.
You know what that means.
It means that it's time for lightning to strike.
The doctor is in.
The doctor is in. lightning strikes. The doctor is in.
Today is lightning round questions. That means all the questions that you guys have been sending us throughout the week, we're going to read on air, and Dr. Questions himself is going to answer them.
Appropriate that the $1 million question about charging fell on lightning round questions, because you have the little lightning bolt when you're charging it.
Oh, very clever.
So
very clever.
You'll just see that forever.
Jonathan T. What do you think the T stands for, my friend?
Oh, man. The T probably stands for Talladega.
Jonathan Talladega wants to know, are there any New Testament scholars that you disagree with but still read or follow?
Plenty.
Yeah.
Where do I begin?
So I guess that's a thing. Like for someone who's not scholarly, you tend to think like with a pastor, let's just say with a pastor, like if I disagree with that guy, I'm probably not going to listen to him preach.
Right.
But it's not that way in the scholarly world.
No. I mean, there's so many out there like that I appreciate their scholarship in one particular area, but I wholeheartedly disagree with them in other areas. And I don't know if you want me to name names, but it happens in my field in textual criticism, because some of the guys are excellent when it comes to collating data.
Right.
They're great. They're excellent when it comes to cataloging the history of the text or history of variants and things like that. When it comes down to their final analysis of, is the Bible the Word of God? And they're like, they look at you really confused, like, why are you even asking that? Because I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God.
I can follow you up till that point, but no further.
And then I have not sure what to do with you.
You know, you said something, I don't know if it was the last lightning round or if it was just a previous episode, but you said that in scholarship, you can very much treat it like a buffet.
Yeah.
You can pick and choose what you need.
Right.
Whereas you don't do that in the church setting.
Right.
Yeah.
But in scholarship, you very much treat it like, I can appreciate this, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to build conclusions off of things that I think are solid evidence
in
multiple places.
And that, I believe, in some ways, has been something that God has gifted me. It's not something that I take lightly or I'm proud of or whatever. I just know that God has gifted me the ability to go to some of these sources and find that information and then be able to sift it through what I know are important doctrines and know what remains and what needs to be trashed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to do that, mm-hmm. but not everybody is able to do that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's where we are very blessed to have you as the pastor, because you can do that. You can sift through those things, whereas the average person will come up to that and be like, oh, well, I agree with him here, so I'm just going to buy into wholesale everything that this person says.
That's how I'm bent. And I know, Dr. Shaw, you and I have been talking because I've got one of your textbooks right now for one of my classes. I won't say which textbook it is. Right. It's a very big volume.
I know which textbook it is. You're talking about.
Yeah, so there's some things in there that I've read, and I know, like, this is not, I don't believe this. And I've called you and we talked about it. I think we FaceTimed once.
Yeah.
Like I was getting ready for a quiz and I was like, surely this is not what he means. And you're like, no, that's what he means. But I was like, I'm
right. Later on, you found out there are other things he said too.
Yes.
And that one question even showed up on the quiz.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of like very confusing. Like, no, surely he doesn't believe that. And I said, no, that's the answer.
That's what he'll say it was. Mm. And I put it and it was right. Yeah. But I had to mark something that I didn't believe to get it right on a test. But where I was going with that is I'm the type of person, like, I'm writing this person off. I'm not ever reading that book. But you were like, no, there's great things in that book.
Yeah.
So, yeah. These things are not great.
Right.
He is my favorite when it comes to some other part of theology. Mm-hmm. He is the best. He's awesome.
And that's the thing that it's hard for me to wrap my mind around, where it's like, I wholeheartedly disagree with you here, but here you're untouched.
I'm
trying to become more like that in my thinking.
It has happened for me after years and years of reading and studying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that has happened overnight. I have spent a lot of time understanding the history of scholarship, whether it's New Testament scholarship, systematic theology, or even his history of evangelical world.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a lot of things, biographies or autobiographies of people where they discuss their interaction with people in the evangelical world. For example, Ted Engstrom. Ted Engstrom was... I think he was with Navigators, I believe. Somebody can check on that. And just amazing guy, great guy. But I read his autobiography because he has a lot on how everything works, and so how different people were and who were they and what they did and all that stuff. And so it really helped me tremendously to kind of navigate my way through the evangelical world. So both in scholarship and in that world.
Yeah.
Youth for Christ.
Right.
And World Vision International. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's who he was.
Yeah.
With.
Yeah. And he wrote a book on his life. I forgot the name of the book, but anyways, it was a pretty good book.
That's awesome. Well, that kind of leads us right directly into our next question.
Yeah. Our next question is coming from Marcus D. John, what do you think the D stands
D'Artagnan.
For? Marcus D'Artagnan, Three Musketeers style. Is it common for New Testament scholars to still write or speak on Old Testament issues? How necessary is a PhD to be considered credible in a field of study?
Great question, by the way. I would say they can do that as long as somehow it's connected to the New Testament.
So if this is completely fantastic. I don't think this would happen. But if ETS or someone at ETS contacted you and said, we want you to write a paper on Job.
Yeah.
And present it at ETS, would you decline or would you say that's...
I would say, hey, do you do know that my PhD is in New Testament and specifically textual criticism? Are you asking me to maybe look at some quotations of Jesus? Or Paul or somebody.
For you, that would be a huge red flag.
Yeah. Is that what you want me to do?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm doing? Am I looking at the Septuagint of the of Job's text, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not just going to go pull up the Hebrew and start doing that. Although I can read it. Right. I can study it.
Yeah.
I'm not as well versed.
If you were sitting in the crowd or any New Testament scholar, if they were sitting in the crowd and a New Testament scholar that they knew got up and started speaking authoritatively on the Old Testament, do they sort of tune out or does that raise question marks?
You mean in a scholarly setting?
Yeah. Like at ATS or at a conference.
Right. An Old Testament scholar starts talking on
New Testament scholar starts talking about or vice versa.
Depends on what exactly he's saying. If he's talking about the use of the Old Testament and the New, he can definitely talk about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
because that's connected. Mm-hmm. If he's talking about Septuagint quotations in the New Testament, of course, that's fine too.
Gotcha.
Canon issues, now we're struggling. But yes, to sort of compare with the canon issues of the New Testament mm-hmm. canon, okay, we can still do that. Some historical critical stuff, because a lot of Old Testament historical critical method has been sort of applied to New Testament studies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can go with that. But once you get beyond that, when you start talking about the theology of the writer of Deuteronomy, mm-hmm. right? I believe it was Moses, but anyways, in Old Testament scholarship sure. is usually called the writer of Deuteronomy. Or something like prophecies of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. As long as they are connected to the New Testament is fine, but if not, then you have to go, that's not my field.
Yeah. Right, right. And if someone did, would other scholars sort of write that off, or would it even happen in the first place?
Now, let me back up for a moment. It also depends on the caliber of the scholar. Mm-hmm. There are scholars out there who are New Testament scholars, and yet they have done a history of scholarship. And in that history, it was not just relegated just to the New Testament. It was also the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. But they have so established themselves. A case in point would be D.A. Carson. D.A. Carson has written books like The Gagging of God. Mm-hmm. Gagging of God is about... it's about relativism and postmodernism. Now, he is a New Testament scholar. What's he doing writing about postmodern philosophy right. and all that, how right. it relates to New Testament or Old Testament studies? But since he has established himself in that way, mm-hmm. you go, okay, if it's from D.A. Carson, he is a research scholar.
Yeah. Right.
D.A. Carson has also written a book, books on divine sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Well, divine sovereignty is not limited just to the New Testament. It's also in the Old Testament.
Right.
So how can you go there and talk about that? Well, because it's D.A. Carson.
So his name kind of carries that authority mm-hmm. and that credibility.
Yeah. And the older guys did that more. Not all.
Right.
Like F.F. Bruce. Uh-huh. F.F. Bruce was a very famous scholar, mm-hmm. more on the New Testament side. But, I mean, he did books on the Old Testament as well.
Yeah.
Or on the entire history of the Bible. It's like, how could he do that? And why are we quoting him?
Yeah.
Well, because that's F.F. Bruce.
So it's also a matter, I guess, of how long you've been on the scene and how people...
How respectable are you? What is your credibility in the scholarly world?
I guess I'm just wondering if there's any universe where someone does, and I don't know why they would do it, but let's say someone's like, hey, we want Dr. Abaddon Shah to do a paper on the Old Testament canon or something. You're like, well, I got to go get another PhD real quick, and then I'll
I would be hesitant at this stage in my life to do that.
Got
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Like some New Testament scholars have written books on hermeneutics. Mm-hmm. And when they're talking about hermeneutics, it's not just New Testament section. They're talking about the old and new. And yet they're talking about hermeneutics. Mm-hmm. Are they really qualified? I don't know. But they have established themselves. Mm-hmm. And the work is very well written. So people read it.
Yeah.
They study it. There are also textbooks.
Yeah. yeah.
Written by a New Testament guy. But it also has Old Testament. But mm-hmm. they have established themselves. Like so many others I can mention. But yeah.
Yeah.
Those two readily come to my mind.
Yeah.
Very cool. Chad R. What do you think the R stands for, man?
Rhombus.
Chad Rhombus wants to say, wow, I don't know if I like the way this one's going. I'm astounded that anyone can think Jonah is the slickest person in the Bible. Chad.
Chad's been listening to the show.
Feels kind of targeted, Chad.
Didn't you say that, David? Who said that?
That was me.
That was all John.
I feel like I'm going to cut this question.
No, what you're do in it now.
I'm astounded that anyone could think Jonah is the slickest person in the Bible. What do y'all think about Laban?
Laban, I would say.
Laban is slick, but I also, slick. I don't, like for me, if someone's slick, right, I don't think that that's like a, Laban was a cheat.
Laban's not slick, he's slimy.
Yeah, that's kind of slimy. Slick is like you come on, you say the right things, which I guess he did. He got the guy to marry the wrong girl, and then stay married to her for 7 years. So I guess that's slick, but
it can't be Jonah, though. Jonah was not slick.
I'm fine. I'm willing to concede that. I don't think it's astounding, Dad. I don't think that's astounding. Read the
Chad
next
took
one.
That question personally.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Mike T. John, what does the T stand for?
Oh, that's tortoiseshell.
Okay, Mike Tortoiseshell. I heard through the grapevine you're a turkey hunter. Do people hunt in India? And does it have the type of climate to hunt wild animals?
They did a lot of hunting back in the day of... to the point that they completely eradicated the tiger population.
I was going to say, I thought that was...
Yeah, they do hunt in India. They hunt gazelles, deer. It's a different looking deer, but still deer.
Yeah.
And there were people in our church who hunted, and they would bring us deer meat.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, not like tons of people, but
yeah,
a couple of people did hunt.
But it did happen.
Oh, yeah.
So here in the South, it's like... everywhere. It feels like everybody
It's a very
hunts.
Different world.
Yeah.
In America, it's very different, where people own guns and all that. In India, that you know, very few.
Would they hunt with like bow and arrow and stuff?
No, with the gun.
Oh, with gun. Yeah. Gotcha.
But there's fewer that actually owned
very
guns.
Few who actually went through the training and all that stuff to even own a gun like that.
So did you hunt back in India, or was it until you came here when you started?
Oh, no. Never hunted in my life. Okay. I mean, other than crabs.
Right.
by the river.
Right.
And as I mentioned one time, but no, not hunting.
Yeah.
My dad did back in the day. This is going back to pre-independence time, independence of India. Mm-hmm. This is 1947, where the British were in India, and so a lot of tiger hunting would happen. My grandfather on my dad's side would hunt tigers.
Mm.
And there's a story. I want to hear the story.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So the story goes like this. A British officer came to my grandfather, my dad's dad, and said, look, I've never been tiger hunting. I would like to go because I know you go hunting and I'd love to go with you. And so my grandfather took this Indian officer, this British officer with him. And this was my grandfather was a police commissioner. So kind of like law enforcement people. And they went hunting. And now... the thing about tiger is when it walks through the jungle, because it's a jungle.
Right.
Right. It's not the woods.
Right.
The woods are in America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jungles are different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They roar, and the roar is so loud, so deafening, so terrifying that sometimes monkeys will even fall from the tree.
Yeah. You told me that before. Yeah.
They get paralyzed. Yeah. They get paralyzed.
Just fall with a sickening crunch.
Yeah. Ugh.
Wow.
Yeah. With fear.
Yeah.
You know, and the roar is a very different kind of roar.
I can imagine.
So, anyways, that happened. And so he took him, and they were both on different trees. So my grandfather was on one tree, and the British officer was another one. And then, you know, nothing happened. So they moved to another place, and the British officer was higher up on the tree on another branch. And my grandfather was on this side. And so the tiger came. Because, I mean, you know, you have people out there who'll tell you.
Yeah.
Like, it's coming this way and that's the way. So they know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
And he roared. And when he roared, it wasn't raining, but you could hear water trickling down the leaves.
Oh, man. No, dude. No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I can't even blame him. I can't even blame him. I probably would have done the same thing.
And my grandfather was like, oh no.
It's like falling on his shoulder and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. But it was on a different branch.
Yeah.
But it was very obvious that he wet his pants.
Yeah, he couldn't control it, man.
Because it's so scary.
I can imagine.
Terrifying.
We got time for one more question. Nick R. Nick R.
Nick R.
Yeah.
The R is rutabaga.
Nick Rutabaga wants to know, this one's kind of mean-spirited too, if you could eliminate one worship song from existence, what would it be?
Yikes.
Wow. That's
come on, man.
That's an interesting song.
From existence, question. It never existed?
Yeah, just never, or you just, nobody ever sings it again.
Okay.
I would say, personally now, it's got to be Good Father.
I was going to say the same thing.
You were going to say the same thing.
You don't like Good Father.
It's a good song.
It's a good song, and I really enjoyed it when it came out, but it's been so run into the ground.
Yeah.
It's been ruined.
Yeah, that's the one I would
It's ruined for me.
I would do away with.
You know why it resonated? Because maybe in America, that there may be a need for some good fathers. I guess.
Was there ever, like, I know in, when you were growing up in church, the, y'all did the hymns and stuff, like the really, really British hymns. Yeah. Was there ever one that you were just like, oh my goodness?
Yeah, there
were
several songs like that. And not just British hymns, but also Indian songs. They were just not good. It was just like, this is bad. This is not good. I don't enjoy this. It's over.
Yeah.
Then some were like, oh, we're doing this again. Yes.
Yeah. If you guys didn't get the chance to have your questions answered, if you've been sitting on them, ask yourself why and write in and send those questions to us at 252-582-5028. We'd love to answer them for you on the show. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Enjoy great content like this for years to come by supplying us with your hard-earned
money. Right. That's right.
It's silly, but if you join with us in partnering with us financially, you make this a reality for other people for years to come.
That's true.
And we would appreciate it.
That's true. The only way that we're able to do this show is because God has put people in our lives and in our organization who have said, you know what, I want to see this thing happen.
Right.
And there are a lot of them are listeners just like you. So we appreciate your donations. We appreciate your giving because that's how we're able to do this and keep bringing the word of Jesus out to the masses.
John, what encouragement do you have for our listeners this weekend?
Well, same as always, make sure that you are in church. Make sure you're worshiping God. But more than that, take some of the answers to these questions and start applying them to your day-to-day life. So on Monday of next week, so after you've worshiped, after you've gone to church, after you've given to your church, start writing down some of these answers and saying, how can I live out even just one of these this week? And I think you're going to find that God is going to show you the way he wants you to go with that.
That's right. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.